Hit 107 and the Adelaide Crows present...
Hodgie Adley!
The Podcast.
Jenkins, a boy! Marks turns, runs, and he kicks it!
Welcome back to another week of the Crows Podcast, otherwise known as the Podcast. The great man's with us once again.
Thanks, Amos.
J-Pod, Beck Goddard's with us.
Hi, guys.
And JJ, good to have you again.
Good to be here.
Let's go straight into the Crows versus Cats. A disappointing loss, a lot of grief being given to the team. I'll start with you, Pods, and we'll walk along the way there. Where do you think we went? Where do you think we went? Where do you think we went wrong?
Well, I think for our supporters that watched the game, I think it was pretty obvious that we just lost the contested ball, and they got the ball forward, and they scored. So,
do you think it was a generous scoreline to us in the end?
Absolutely. I think the last quarter, I reckon their intensity and their energy dropped a little bit. Looking back at the vision and. We made the most of it and played pretty well in the last quarter, but it was off the back of them dropping their energy. So from our perspective, it was really disappointing because we've actually seen that this year when we've played well, we've really cracked in and matched it with the size we played. So
Beck, how did you see the game? Did you watch?
Yeah, I watched. I love Friday nights because, you know, I get to eat the pizza and watch the footy. It was the sort of disappointing end of the night was
what
the result.
What pizza did you have?
I had a porcini.
A what, sorry?
A porcini.
Just mushroom.
Porcini. Yeah.
Do they have those in Swan Hill, JJ?
Yeah.
No. Meat only.
Barbecue meat lovers. I'll take you as a Hawaiian man myself.
Pepperoni.
And just a pepperoni. Yeah, the good. American. Now, you're on the field. How did you find the game?
I was on the field, yes.
Not all of us were.
It just wasn't us. Everything we did, we had to scrap for. We kicked goals and no one had any energy. We didn't celebrate. We weren't smiling. We weren't playing like we normally do. Everything was hard work. And that's what they can do to you down there. So I want to give more credit to them. Yeah. We were poor. Let's not hide from that, but let's give them credit. The reason that not many teams go down there and win, because often it's less about the ground, more about the team they're playing, and the team that plays down there is pretty good.
I'm probably a terrible fan, and Alan Richard...
You are. I've read your tweets. I went through your tweets this week. Jeez, you're emotional.
I did post. I posted a picture of a funeral casket.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's emotional.
How many beers deep were you?
It was a
puccini
pizza deep.
Emotion and alcohol doesn't go well, mate.
And I did write RIP 2017. I was disappointed.
This is six weeks ago. What were you doing? Selling grand final tickets or offering?
Selling grand final tickets.
Because you had us as a lock.
I did have us as a lock. And I think we can come back.
That's the definition of a fair weather supporter, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I ride it with a huge amount of passion. I did post that up and Dad said...
Get on the roller coaster.
Well, it's a roller coaster.
Yeah, we're coming back.
Dad said, look, it's better for us to lose now than later on in the year. Richardson is probably talking to me and other Crows fans out there. And I think we're a harsh bunch. We definitely are. Because every time we lose, everyone I know who's a Crows fan is, why did we lose? Why were we bad rather than why were they good? And they are a good team. They're playing at their home ground, which is a tough place to play. And Alan Richardson on AFL 360 said, and I quote, "It's unbelievable. The attention of the two teams is off the charts. It's like there's no other teams in the competition. There's never any credit at all for the team that might beat the Crows. It's always looking at what went wrong and how could we have possibly not won this game. They're incredibly passionate, but on the back of that, they are at times unrealistically critical." How do you feel about that? Do you think that's very accurate?
I reckon, I agree with him, absolutely. And I think my experience coming over here from Victoria as a player and being at a pretty predominantly successful club at Geelong before I came here, the media attention that was here compared to Geelong or Melbourne was ridiculous. I couldn't work out why it was. And then I started to work out that here we've got four TV stations and a pretty big paper. In Melbourne, they've got four TV stations and two papers. However, they've got 10 teams. So we're really finding content here in South Australia for two teams. And any content is good content, I suppose, in those eyes. So I think the players here get scrutinised and the club gets scrutinised more than any other team in the land.
It's heavy expectations, I think, because every year we go in and every Crows fan's like, this has to be the bloody year. This is this better be the year we fix things and win the flag. And all of my interstate friends who live here as well, who go for the Demons go, you know, there's one winner every year, that's it. There's 18 teams. How about just hope that, you have a good season? But everyone does expect that we're going to win the flag every single year. Do you feel that as a player, even when you meet fans, we do turn pretty quick?
Most people I bump into just want to beat. They just want to beat Port Adelaide. So it's a pretty simple equation. If you win the showdown, and they're happy. Yeah. But it can work in a. Beck would be the best person to talk about. It works in a positive light as well, because we saw your AFLW team, how much exposure they got. So there is a positivity to it as well, but yeah, they do come for you.
Do you think some players love the fact, because there's players who want to go to like GWS and go, I love that I can hide, you know? And other players really must relish. I'm being bigged up here, Rory Atkins, just throwing out his name. There's certainly other players out there that like the media attention. Do you like it yourself?
Yeah, I don't mind it. I don't hide from it. I don't see any reason to hide from it, but I can certainly understand players that aren't as comfortable in doing so, because they just want to go about their business and live their life and not be in the public eye. So I can understand both sides of it, but I've chosen to embrace it and be a part of it and try and enjoy it.
I'll tell you what, that is good to have fans who care, at least.
Exactly, yeah. You could be playing games in front of 12,000 or 18,000 or half or three-quarter empty MCG, things like that. We're really lucky, but you've got to cop the good with the bad.
In saying this, though, like, our fans want us to win. And believe me, behind the four walls that they've got, we want to win every game we play. We prepare to win, and we believe we can win every game too, which is pretty good. So I know there's a lot of sides out there that go to games thinking, we're probably not going to win today, but let's just give it a go. We go to games thinking we're going to win.
We get the points.
There is some blame that Beck needs to take, because you guys lost one game.
Let's hear from now, Beck. Let's,
one season, one premiership.
Yeah, I don't know where to go to from here now when we're in trouble. But I think it's the one thing I love about Adelaide is that the crowd actually know their footy. You know, growing up in Canberra, the only footy games I went and watched live were the Sydney Swans. And those crowds are completely different and don't know what they're talking about when it comes to footy and the decisions behind it. Whereas the people in Adelaide want to know about it. They love their footy and they live the highs and the lows with you, and it's good because you want to hold yourself accountable, and they sure as hell hold you accountable.
Well, you went and watched a Port game, you said to me just before
we
started.
Oh, now shush.
And what happened?
Yeah, look, I love watching footy, so I snuck into the Port Hawthorn game last week in disguise so no one would recognise me. I took my glasses off, but
Clark Kent.
Shazza from Port Adelaide did notice me as I was walking in and wanted to have a photo. But that's the thing about Adelaide. She's a Port Adelaide supporter, but loved watching the AFLW and the Crows girls, and that's just great. I love being in a town that has that.
Oh, it's very, very good fun. Let's go to the game that's happening this week, which is a special one for us. And I'm going to get to the 97 reunion in a minute. But it is, of course, against the Saints. They've been a bit off. And it felt like there was a good buzz about them. Ninth last year, they were building. And then everyone said it's been, three bad weeks for them, maybe struggling through the midfield. Is that the same area that we're struggling? Contested ball? How do we beat them? Riewoldt, not back, I don't think.
No, it doesn't look like he'll play. No. But look, I think they finished ninth last year and they've actually improved. So they've lost their last two, but previous to that, they were in the top eight. And I still think as a coach watching him play and their style, I think they'll still finish in the top eight. So from our perspective, we can't take their position on the ladder lightly. I mean, their pressure around the ball and their contested stuff is really good. And we've got to bring that as well and break their game down.
Now, I saw Mav Weller, they were saying, we'll maybe go and tag.
The meditator.
Is he a meditator? Is he? Yeah. Is he at one? He's apparently going to go, tag Rory Sloan. And that's obviously been the number one thing they're saying, the Crows. Do we have an option when Rory gets tagged? Can we find other answers? Has that been discussed behind the walls?
Absolutely. I think what people think about when it comes to Sloane being tagged is, what can Sloane do? Can he shake the tag? Where can he go? But the reality of it is, if we're not playing well as a team, it's harder for Sloane, really. So we're working through some ways and giving our players some tools around Sloane and also Sloane on how he can shake that. But Sloane's been given a lot of attention over his whole career. So it's not as if it's new to him. He's been a couple of games where he's been quiet, but there's a couple of games where he's been tagged and he's actually dominated the game. So it's the ebbs and flows of playing AFL.
Surely, as a coaching group, though, you must get annoyed when, just from a lot of the media I've been watching, like your Fox footy stuff, they seem to think that we just go, that you guys go, well, he's been tagged, but la-di-da-di-da. You know, we don't even know that it's happening. We just continue with the same game plan. Surely you guys are constantly changing what you're going to do to meet the opponent.
Yeah, absolutely. I said to you, it's some tools that Campo's working with Sloane. And there's some tools that we're doing around on the outside of the contest as well, away from Sloane, that we're trying to help him out. But at the end of the day, we're not like a team that just focuses on one individual and trying to get Sloane in the game. We've got other match winners and other guys that are really important, and we play a role sort of side. So Sloane just plays his role, and And, he just goes to that. And then JJ plays his role and Daniel Talley plays his role and we get it done. So it's not about Rory Sloane. But
poor guy walking around with someone following him. It's sort of like a forward. Sort of like a forward in the back.
Is that how forwards feel like? Have you ever? Yeah, it's called an opponent.
The poor guy. Yeah. I don't know how he sleeps at night.
I think the great thing about the tag is that when it comes to St Kilda's attack, they've actually got one less player playing attack. So it's actually a bonus because then they're one player down.
Well, let's get into JJ's top four. He said to me, look, make sure we get into it early.
I think easy.
You'll see why.
It's not because of the quality of the top four. It's more about how the show will flow if you do so.
All right, well, let's do it.
JJ's top four.
There it is, JJ's top four. What have you got for us this week?
I have got the top four events of 1997.
Okay.
You'll see why when I get to number one. Number four, I wasn't huge into this, but in 1997, might make you feel quite old, Pokemon was introduced to the world and became the phenomenon that it is.
Could you get him in chips? Well, remember the chip
Later
packets?
On, the Tarzos,
I just remember the cards Tarzos. That everyone
the cards.
Used to deal.
And they were banned from schools because people used to trade with the nerdy kids who didn't know what they had.
You're a bully.
You're a bully.
You're a bully.
I'll give you three of these Nuffy cards if you give me that shiny Charizard. It's not worth anything. They're mine. Much better. I'm helping you out here.
joint number three. Unfortunately, two very famous individuals passed away in 1997. Princess Diana and Notorious B.I.G.
Was in 97?
Murdered, I believe. Very unfortunate. Number
two. Do you remember where you were when Princess Diana was?
I remember watching the funeral, but I don't. Yeah, I was
everyone always
young.
Says, yeah, okay. Everyone always says, I remember where I was when Princess Diana
where
got
were you, J-Pod?
Watching my sister play netball. Yep.
Where were you, Beck?
I was at home watching it rain in Canberra.
Where were you, JJ?
That's every day.
I was eight, so I was probably playing with those Pokemon cards.
I was six, and for some reason, my Croatian
Are you younger
grandmother,
than me?
Yeah, I'm 1991. Well. My Croatian grandma had an effigy up the front of Diana for a week out the front of our house with candles.
As though
we were Buckingham Palace for some reason.
Yeah.
Very strange the
That's
way that
similar
it
to the cricket bat when
what's his name? Phil.
Phil Hughes.
Phil Hughes. Everyone put the bat out.
She started it.
People were putting candles, flowers. It's crazy.
I've actually been
sorry,
to
JJ, we've interrupted your
talk. Visited the tunnel where she was killed.
They still
which people might it. Yeah, where people might think that's actually a bit morbid, Beck. But I just I've got a little taste for
creepy.
History.
A little bit creepy. Anyway, number two, yep. A movie I've still yet to get through. And refused to get through, despite the request from my girlfriend, Titanic.
Yeah.
Came out in 1997. I believe it's been surpassed, but it was the highest grossing movie
What's
of all time
name?
For a long time. Hannah.
Now, she's a real estate agent, isn't she?
She is.
Yes. Now, if she and you...
Where's this going?
I just think she sold a house to one of my co-hosts. But if you think... if
good
you guys
service?
Were, very great service. I heard very good great. Things. If you guys were on a cruise ship, let's say a P&O, and the boat had collapsed, and there was a door, do you think you'd fit on there together, or she'd boot you off just like Jack?
It'd be every man for himself.
Yeah. So it'd be a fight for the bit of door to see who lives.
Every man and woman.
JJ wouldn't be wrestling for the door, mate. He's in the first class section with a big boat. Oh.
Kicking children out of the robots.
Get out.
That's why I can't watch the movie, because I do have ambitions of going on a cruise one day.
Right. Okay. All right, let's get to number one.
Number one, Saturday, September 27th. Adelaide, 19 goals, 11, 125, defeated the Saints, 13-16-94 for its first ever AFL premiership. That was the biggest event. Sorry, Diana. Sorry.
Yep.
Sorry, Pokemon. Sorry, Titanic. But the Crows' first premiership was the greatest event of 1997 and was replicated 12 months later.
An amazing... let's talk about the 1997 premiership, which is what we're celebrating, of course, against the Saints. 20 years, that is, which does... It's a bloody long time to wait, but I was six. You were, I mean, you started.
All right, we get
young,
it. You started, come on, mate. We get it.
All right, Pods, you've won a premiership recently. I mean, we haven't all had that success. But 1997, that team, I'll go through some of these names. And I imagine they're all going to be there at the game. I think most of them I've heard are coming back.
Yeah, they are, yeah.
So let's read, I'll go from the back line forward. So Peter Caven. Fun fact, did some stand-up
funny
comedy.
Funny man, yeah, he's a funny man.
Did some stand-up about 8 years ago. Rod Jamieson, Ben Hart. Andrew McLeod, David Pittman, Simon Goodwin. There's a hell of a back line. Matthew Connell, Darren Jarman, Kim Costa, Clay Sampson, Matthew Robber, Nigel Smart, Chad Rintoul, Shane Ellen, who's a cop, I know that, up in Brisbane.
Yes.
I think that's the case. Troy Bond, Sean Wren, Kane Johnson, Mark Bickley, Tyson Edwards, Brett James, Aaron Keating, Malcolm Blight, and Mods was with the knee.
Yeah.
He missed out in that time.
Star guys, star players, but also some genuinely good blokes there as well.
Now, through that team there, if we compared it to the team of today, how many of those would you put into today's team? Yeah, I'll hand you the list. Okay.
Plenty of bonus. I reckon as well.
McLeod would probably get a game in this team.
Yep.
Ben Hart. I mean, tell you what, it's hard. Ben Hart, Simon Goodwin, Kim Costa was a star on the wing, wasn't he, back in the day? Darren Jarman. Darren Jarman, Eddie Betts.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Wow. Well,
there are two Ford pockets. I'll sit out. We'll go small.
Right, JJ's out. Second ruck. We don't need one. Mark Bickley.
Yeah.
He was a Jet.
Baz, nah.
Nigel Smart. Still works at the club.
Yep. Smarty at the club. Okay.
Yep.
And who would he take the position of?
As a half, he was played
where
half
was,
forward.
Where did he line up?
He played half forward. Sort of Tommy Lynch sort of style.
Yeah, out you go, Tommy. Tommy's
gone. See you, Tom. Thanks. Tyson Edwards.
He's in.
Yeah, he's definitely in.
Malcolm Blight?
Nah, he wouldn't. He wouldn't get a game.
You hear some interesting stories about
he wouldn't get a game
about
in front of Pikey.
I'm not sure if this is true. No one here can clarify, but about him getting like ladders and then standing on top of the ladders and then giving people abuse so he would tower over them and then say things like why they were weak as like a way to strengthen them.
I remember he got the guys, I don't know if it was the Saints, he made them go back out in the middle of the field after a loss late at night at Etihad, made them sit in the field and he just gave it to them. So certainly a different character.
There's a story that Bix tells, 97 final series. I think they lost their first final, is that right? Or they lost their last game of the year or something. Anyway, Malcolm Blight made them train really hard that week, and they trained ridiculously hard, did a whole heap of contested work, whole heap of running at the end of it, and they came through and they won the next game. So they thought, well, let's just do the same thing the following week. So they trained hard, did a heap of running, contested work, won, made the granny, trained hard, whatever. So there's some we look after our players pretty well, but there's some evidence there.
They couldn't walk for a month after that. Yeah.
Well, they've got a nice
that
medal.
Wasn't
got a
medal. Yeah, just a month.
That's because I was drunk.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Well, just on that, 20 year in, you must be special as a player to go, I've got a reason to keep continually catching up, because you know you drift through life and people go their own ways and it's tough to always see various individuals. Who knows where they are? But if you've got an excuse, we all have to be back here 20 years. You're coming up to a 10-year, aren't you?
Yeah, yep. I reckon that's the reason why you play footy, is to win premierships. But in the back of my mind when I played was, and it's the same as right now, I want our players to win a premiership. So in 10 years' time, as coaches, we get together with the players and go, how good was 2017? And it's the same with the Geelong guys. I mean, they had a reunion recently and they all caught up and it's only been 10 years and most of the guys still stay in contact, but in 20 years time these guys sort of drift apart. You got a couple of guys living in Melbourne, Queensland, they get together, it's great.
Who from the Cats will you'll only catch up with them at the reunion and you're looking forward to that? You go, look, we probably wouldn't have a beer normally but I can't wait to see him at the reunion coming up next year.
I'm looking forward to Stevie Johnson and seeing how big he gets in the next in the next 10 years after he finishes playing.
He continues eating the McDonald's in the car.
Dasher.
Wow.
Dasher. Saw him last week. He's a little bit on. He's expanding.
No one's like Jars, though. Let's be honest.
Wow. He listens to the podcast, actually.
Does he? Yeah. Well, shout out to Jars. Yeah. I mean, why not enjoy? If you're a champion horse, put yourself out to start and enjoy yourself in the field. Why not? I'm looking forward to that. I think if I was a player, you've got to look at the 97 team. So special in this city. Every person in there is iconic. A lot of those names live on for way longer than most other footballers. If you've won a premiership, the amount of opportunities you get for the rest of your life. Like if you're...
There's a senior coach there. Simon Goodwin's a senior coach.
Simon Goodwin.
Tyson Edwards has coached.
Bix was coaching.
Bix was coaching and now he's a media mogul.
You know, and you basically, do players ever say that to each other when it comes to the finals? We have a chance here to really be remembered, to become iconic.
Yeah, I don't know. You just want to win one because of how much hard work you put in. You don't really think about what it might mean in the future. You just want to win one because you put in so much damn hard work during the season. So. I don't know, Beck, what is...
Yeah.
You've got one.
So yeah, I've got my one-year anniversary coming up. I think we never discussed the enormity of what it was going to be to win the first ever one, but I've got no doubt in another 10, 20 years' time that'll be amazing. You know, I had coffee to say goodbye to Kelly Gibson yesterday, and I said, look, whether you like it or not, unfortunately, we're going to be joined at the hip at some point in history. So keep in touch.
Well, really looking forward to that game. Just to see those guys go around the cars. I'm sure some of the Utes will be a little lower to the ground. Pods, you've got a call you'd like to make. And JJ's a big fan of these calls.
He doesn't really like them. He had a go at me last week, actually.
They keep getting edited out.
To be fair, they haven't been that successful or that funny. I've just been laughing along quietly. Maybe today will be different.
Bex is coming with feedback. She's talking about her premiership and then just gone bang.
What are you going to do today? Come on.
Well, JJ had a go at me for just ringing the defenders, so I thought let's ring a forward this week and ring number four.
Oh, really?
Unknown. I don't answer unknown.
Hello, this is Josh.
JJ, Pods from the Podscast. How are you going, mate?
Sorry, from where?
Podscast. You were in here 3 seconds ago. You just walked out.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I'm with you. Got you now.
We just thought we'd get you on your favourite segment, just to make sure that it makes it this week. We know you love Pods.
Will you actually
calls.
Listen to it now that you're on it?
Well, I can understand why you've called me to give it some oomph.
Mate, well done on playing 100 games last week. Sorry we didn't get the win for you, but, mate, just a bit about your story, a bit of background.
wasn't much to celebrate, you're right. Come from the Bombers, played some country footy, or played a little bit of country footy, played plenty of basketball and banged my head against the brick wall trying to become a professional basketball player and, spent 12 months at the Bombers and ended up here. So, time flies.
Awesome effort, mate. 100 games.
Good to know. This segment doesn't work.
Anyway, JJ, that's it, mate. Look forward to seeing you back in the studio.
I'll see you in a second.
Thanks, mate.
All right, you can just head home. Awesome. Beck liked that.
Oh, not come one on, thing Beck. Funny
you
about it.
No, you bloody loved on, it, Beck.
Beck.
Come
Beck.
On, mate. Come on.
Cheer up.
Now we want to wrap up
each
because
week will get better.
Because we've got some basketball to watch the end of.
Yeah.
100 gamers walk back in the studio. Let's finish off in the way we always do in the hands.
Oh, yes.
One, James Pazzielli.
Well, I've got a word of the week this week, rather than the quote of the day. I've seen the word perspective used a lot. And you used it earlier, Amos, about the perspective of our Crows fans and media. And I want to use the word generalisation. Mm-hmm. And that word means a general statement or concept obtained by inference from specific cases. So I think that we generalise in football a lot after a loss. And we sometimes generalize after a win. The ups and downs in football are never as good as what they seem to be. And I think that, is this right, John?
Mm.
You're right with this?
I like this one.
Yeah, this is good.
So generalization, let's not generalize when it comes to AFL footy because we get caught in the trap and we shouldn't.
Yep. Can I run with the word perspective?
Mm. Yep.
Here's one for perspective. I watched Neil Danaher this week. What is MND round? That's a man who puts things in perspective. Please donate to that. Buy yourself the beanie. I'm sure there's the text line number where you can donate just via the text. Do that because he's an absolute champion of the game. And I'm constantly moved when I watch him on shows. So get behind that good cause. And remember, for any more Adelaide Crows information, go to afc.com.au. We've got the podcast on the app. Go to Toyota to buy a car. Please do it. Just buy a Toyota.
Swan Hill Toyota, preferably. Toyota.
Swan Hill Toyota, easily the best. Anyone to shout out there at Swan Hill Toyota?
Big Sebastian.
Yeah, good on you, Big Sebastian.
Seb, thanks for listening.
And the Crow Show on 7 on Sunday. Thanks, guys. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.